The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this April 14th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us here on this gorgeous Tuesday afternoon here in the Auburn and Opelika area. Tons to get to on today's show as we discuss more Auburn baseball, taking a deeper dive into the series win over Kentucky, how the Tigers got the win in the series. Could have been a sweep, but other things could have happened as well. We'll talk about that. Plus, we have a cool guest coming in at 2:30, our weekly interview with a member of Auburn Baseball, the SEC Pitcher of the Week, so pretty excited for that. And a whole lot more here on this Tuesday afternoon. Christian, happy Tuesday to you, sir.
Happy Tuesday, man. It's the best day, in my opinion, man. A deep dive into Auburn Baseball, baseball interview right now where you're not really having too many in-season college basketball conversations and not many in-season college football conversations. You get Auburn baseball, and how nice is it to be able to talk about another winning series? You mentioned what could have been a sweep, yet when that is your biggest complaint of the weekend of, man, you were one swing away with the runner, tying run on third base in the home half of the ninth inning from forcing extras at the worst, if not winning it in the home half of the ninth. Team still responded after getting punched in the mouth early. Coach Butch Thompson had plenty of thoughts and quotes on that game on Saturday, and all things considered, especially when you look around to the SEC, which we did a lot yesterday, you talk about a 2-1 weekend, a 4-2 home stretch in your back-to-back games, or your back-to-back series, rather, in the SEC. Coming away with two series wins, if that is your biggest complaint, seems like you're in a pretty good spot.
I would say so. So we get to dive into that today. Again, we'll dive into some of the numbers. Also do a little bit of a preview as Auburn baseball back in action tonight against Alabama State at home before they do head to Gainesville and wrap up this homestand. And then to start hour number two, we have Alex Petrovic of Auburn baseball, who I had a chance to sit down and talk with earlier this morning on the phone, talk about him winning SEC Pitcher of the Week, what makes this staff so good, and also what games on the golf course him and his buddies like to play. So that's coming up at 3:05 here in this hour as well. We've got our good friend Anthony Turling coming in from AO Tourism, who is the sports development director there, and he's coming to talk to us about the soccer match that's coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium in June and how that became a thing, why it's so important, and the financial benefits that it will bring to Auburn. So very excited for a guy that has his hands all over that situation. Anthony Turling of AO Tourism will be in studio. Plus, he's just a big sports guy. So excited to have him joining us at 2:30. So we have two great guests with us on this Tuesday, but around those guests, the phone lines are open. If you want to be a part of the program, you certainly can be. We encourage you to do so. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. That number again to give us a call, 334-321-1390, or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. As Auburn baseball gets the series win over Kentucky, we briefly mentioned mentioned why that was a big deal yesterday, but the idea that in two of the three games, your pitching did exactly what it was supposed to do, and for the first time this year, we saw Jake Marciano prove that he was human as a sophomore pitcher, and yet Auburn still had chances to win that game, and how close the Tigers really came to sweeping the Cats this past weekend.
Yeah, shows that A, he was human, but also shows that even when you don't have your A stuff, you can still compete and you can still pass the baton on the pitcher's mound as well. If one guy doesn't have that A-plus stuff, not only like what you mentioned yesterday, is it a little bit of the offense's responsibility of going, okay, you know what? You've saved us too many times. Mm-hmm. It's time that we give you a little bit of run support, or we allow you to stay on the mound, or just the arms on the mound to keep you in it. And Garrett Brewer is one of those guys that kept Auburn in the baseball game on Saturday. You gave up all five in the first two innings. They didn't score again. Auburn kind of chipped away and chipped away, still looked for that big, big hit to kind of put a big crooked number up and really feel like you were able to steal some of the momentum. Even when you were working your way back into the game, it still felt like Kentucky had a little bit of the momentum. But my goodness, if that is the one game that you have true complaints about, it feels like you're in a really good spot. Auburn puts up 12 runs on Friday and 11 runs. You only play 7 innings on Saturday, and only so many. Only so many things can be said about the response in both of those games, right? On Friday, you got run ruled by a really good Jacksonville State team. You mentioned the question yesterday, or Friday. We reevaluated it yesterday on, okay, how do you forget about that Friday game or the Tuesday game? You go and you show out on Friday, and you do it really early. Auburn puts 6 runs in the home half of the first inning to really easily clear your mind of what happened in the midweek. Then you get punched in the mouth on Saturday, and you go and dominate the rubber match with the reigning pitcher of the week coming to join us here in just a little bit. I mean, all around, when you look at the SEC as a whole, Auburn now 8-7 in conference play, 15 games in. If I were to tell you, you lose the series to Texas and you get swept at Alabama, but you're 8-7 overall, I don't think you ask another question. I think you take it happily. And then to the point of baseball is baseball, and it doesn't directly work out like this, but 8-7, if that can put you at 16-14 when things are considered, you wouldn't complain about that either.
Yeah, and it's funny to look at the two games that Auburn won this past weekend where both of those games, you said they scored early. They put up a crooked number in the first inning and never looked back. That's not a realistic expectation in SEC baseball over a three-game series, because you're going to see some dudes on the mound, right? But correlation doesn't mean causation, but there is correlation in those two games where you score in the first inning, you put immediate pressure on starting pitchers and get to the bullpens early of these teams in the Southeastern Conference, where there's not many teams that have just locked down, shut down bullpens. They've got some dudes, don't get me wrong, but look at Auburn, for example. Auburn starters are their core. Auburn starters are what they have. The bullpen is shaky at best right now for Auburn. You've got Hetzler in there, who you trust as a closer, but Jet Johnston hasn't been what you need of him as late. You're still looking for some production from DeJong and things like that. My point here is Auburn scoring early has allowed them to play a little bit more freely, and I talked to Petrovic about that on the Sunday game about, hey, your guys gave you a 3-0 lead when you went out there for just the second inning, and he goes into some detail about that. We'll have that for you in the second hour. So while that's not a realistic expectation for this Auburn offense on the baseball field, when you are able to score even a run or two early and you throw up a crooked number in there, this Auburn team is hard to beat when they score early like they did this past weekend.
It's kind of a rule, an unwritten rule, and maybe not even unwritten, but just something that a lot of coaches pride themselves on, of if you get two crooked numbers in a contest, you should win the baseball game, even if it is just 2-2, because that means most likely you're scratching one across in at least one, if not two, of those innings, which puts you at 6 runs.
Mm-hmm.
You feel really confident if you're the Auburn Tigers and what they've done in the starting rotation, and then again, enough guys like Garrett Brewer who can come out and throw out zeros and get shutdown innings. If you could put six runs on the board for the Auburn Tigers, you feel like you're in a really good spot. Another thing when you look at the Friday and Sunday game, not only did they score first, that hasn't been an issue with Auburn. But scoring first, you mentioned the crooked number, and then the response to do it again. On Sunday, you score two more, or apologies, on Friday, you score two more in the second, two more in the third, and then on Sunday, you don't score in the second, but you score again in the third. That's one thing that we have talked a lot about is, okay, Auburn scores first almost every single game they play. Auburn puts up a zero, whether that's in the top half of the inning when they're at home, or they go and score and then put up a zero. But it's, okay, what does the response look like after that? You almost shock your opponent. Now go and do it again. Go and double down. Go and stack momentum. Auburn hasn't had any trouble putting the first run on the board, but it's after that of, okay, what does the second through fifth inning look like? Rather than when you have 6, 7, 8, and 9 of Auburn almost every once in a while needing to wake up in SEC play, mm-hmm. you keep your foot down, you keep the pedal to the metal, and that's what you saw on Friday and on Sunday. And you saw the highs and then the highs again of what Auburn's offense looks like when all things are clicking on all cylinders.
Looking through, we are exactly halfway through SEC play right now.
Yeah.
For baseball. And I'm looking at some of the batting numbers for Auburn where you've got five dudes hitting over 300 right now. Frelick at 318, Rembert at 330, Carter, Bristol Carter at 330, Brandon McCrane hitting 355, and then Eric Guevara leading the team in batting average, and he is second on the team, I believe, in OPS. He is only behind Chase Frelick. And even with that, you have Ethan Bingaman, who is knocking on the door of 300 at 297. You have Bob Terrell knocking on the door of 300 at 292. You have Mason McCrane knocking on the door of 300, hitting 290. And when Auburn is able to get in a rhythm offensively, and I'm not necessarily saying got to hit 1 through 9, but Auburn here recently has had games where everybody in the lineup has had a hit, or 7 of the 9 have had a hit, or several dudes having multi-hit games. Like, man, those things stack up, and it's comparable to an offense. I was talking with someone earlier. It's comparable of the offense that Coastal Carolina put out there last year, where they're not going to blow you away with the power, but they're going to put the pressure on and keep the pressure on. The difference is that this Auburn team is, in their wins, they're doing this, but in their losses, they're not. When they're getting guys on, that Coastal team found a way to get them in. They did whatever they needed to do. They had clutch hits. They played small ball if they had to. This Auburn team still isn't as consistent at the plate with guys on base that I would like them to be across several games, several weeks. But you have a chance to continue what you did this past weekend going into Gainesville this weekend on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series, top 10 series happening between Auburn and Florida. So you have a chance to keep the bats hot this weekend in Gainesville.
It's the responsibility of the top half of the lineup to set the table. And whether that is setting the table with just getting guys on base, stacking lineups, working gap to gap, or having the home run power that you do need to have in a couple of these games, and Auburn has displayed plenty of that, but the consistency of setting the table, that allows what you saw this weekend with the back half of the lineup, or 8 and 9, or 7, 8, 9, whatever the case it may be. You look at Ethan Bingaman, 3 hits in game one. Eddie Madrigal, 3 hits in game one. Brandon McCrane, 2 hits in game one. You can get 8 hits from the bottom half, the back half of your lineup, to where then you have your quote-unquote best guys at the top of the lineup in Bristol Carter, who's an on-base machine, and then Chase Frelick, who may be the most consistent best hitter on this Auburn team right now. You allow them to not only have the mindset of, okay, let me get on base for Chris, for Bub, and for Eric. It's, okay, now let me do some of those power numbers. Let me get a couple of those RBIs. Mm-hmm. Bristol Carter had 2. Frelick had 1 in game one to make it to where, man, there really is no spot in the lineup where Kentucky's pitching coach or Kentucky's head coach can go and sit down with the pitching staff and go, all right, 7, 8, and 9. This is where you need to get your outs. This is where you can attack, because we can't have it to where Bristol Carter, Chase Frelick have guys on base if we can allow them to hit with nobody on, nobody outs, or nobody on and one out. That is where you minimize the damage. Makes things so much more complicated when you're able to get guys on in the back half of the lineup.
And when you have guys, several guys who can hit and get on base and come up with those clutch hits, we see where teams will put some of their, not top hitters, but some of their middle of the pack hitters, they'll put them at the bottom of the lineup. We've seen the McCrane brothers be near the bottom of the order in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, in somewhere in that grouping, because depending on how an inning goes, you could be starting with, you know, 8-9-1 due up in the top half of the fourth inning. Okay, I trust one of the McCranes to get on and keep the inning going, and then you're able to flip the lineup over and allow your best hitters to bring those guys in and tack on more runs and start building the possibility of a crooked number. So I think we've seen Auburn do that a couple of times so far, and it is a luxury that Auburn has when the offense is working properly. But I also think that in two of the three games against Kentucky, the plate approach was so much more mature for Auburn this weekend, where it wasn't, all right, I'm going to swing as hard as I can, or I don't really have a game plan, but I'm going to come up here and see what happens. And, oh, it's 2-0? Cool, I'm going to swing at this no matter what you throw me. And I'm going to hit a hard ground ball, second base, and I'm going to get out on a 2-0 count. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like Auburn did a better job of that this weekend, and just being patient. It's so much easier said than done, but just being patient, waiting on your pitch, and not feeling the pressure of, got to get a hit, can't strike out. You know what I mean? So I feel like Auburn did a better job of that against Kentucky. And again, I hope they carry that into Gainesville. They'll have Florida this weekend. Again, that's in Gainesville Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oklahoma comes to town next weekend. Then you go to Texas A&M, to Mississippi State, and you wrap up with Georgia. So just from a logo perspective, this is one of the tougher stretches to end the regular season, but Florida is playing its best baseball, I would say, right now. Oklahoma is good, not great. A&M is very good. Mississippi State, they're still a good baseball team, even though they've got swept in back-to-back weekends in Stark Vegas. And then Georgia, even though they just got beat, they're still the top team in the SEC. So it is an uphill battle for Auburn at 8-7 in the league right now.
It is, yeah. And you look at the RPI this weekend, which we'll dive into a little bit in hour number two, this weekend could go down as one of those weekends if Auburn is able to take two, if not take three. And I say that putting my hands up, because we know the expectation of, man, even just winning the series on the road is good enough. But this can be one of those series that the committee and those guys that have the major discussions for Auburn, not only hosting a regional, but being a national seed and possibly being set up to host a super regional, a win over Florida in Gainesville with how good they're playing right now and being the number four team in the RPI, this is a series win that Auburn could have that could be one of those postseason conversations that really boosts them to a very similar spot that they were in last year.
We'll keep talking baseball when we come back, and where Auburn is right now in the rankings, where they are in the SEC, and what is happening as we are halfway through the conference schedule. We'll talk about that in a little bit more before our guy Anthony Turling joins us from AO Tourism to talk the soccer match coming up and the financial impacts that will make as well. All that here as we're just underway on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We are back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, talking more Auburn baseball, a little SEC baseball as well, since, again, we are halfway through the SEC schedule. Auburn, a game over 500 now, 8-7. That's with a sweep. That's by being swept as well, and that's one more sweep than I would want for Auburn in a season. But, I mean, look at the teams at the top of the SEC. We just mentioned Georgia, Mississippi State, Texas, technically. I mean, those teams getting swept, right? It happens. And when you're able to get a sweep on top of it, I guess it washes out. Mathematically, yes, but I don't know if the vibes wash out of, man, we got swept by Alabama, but we swept Missouri. Like, I don't think they don't cancel each other out.
No,
especially with South Carolina sweeping Missouri this weekend. That doesn't help you either.
No, they don't correlate the same, and I think a lot of that comes down to where it takes place, right? If you get swept on the road but you sweep at home, I think it kind of washes out. But
yeah.
When you compare getting swept at Alabama, which you take that as a nameless, faceless opponent rather than it being Auburn and
sure.
Alabama, where
sure.
that pain is a little bit more present, it lingers for a little bit longer, but a sweep on the road and getting swept on the road, I think, washes itself out to where you're halfway through SEC play. I think you're right where you want to be. I think there could be obviously expectations of a little bit higher of, man, one thing goes right against Kentucky in game two. Man, one thing goes right against Arkansas in game two. Man, one thing goes right against Alabama in game two, if you're picking up what that weekend game can look like. But you take just a couple of those, I think that's where the expectation could get to. But all things said and done, you mentioned it, with a sweep and getting swept with the opponents that you have played and where you have played, I think you will happily take it. And you go, it doubles down to, based off of how difficult the back half of this SEC slate is, if you can replicate what you did in the front half and you finish at 16-14 or even relatively comparable to that, I think it puts you at a great spot for the postseason. And I think some of these national sites are agreeing with you. Something that I've dove into. Sorry if you have.
Well, I was going to say, what's comparable? You were saying, you know, do what you did in the first half or anything comparable. If you go based off of what everybody talks about, is do what you're supposed to do. That would be 7-8, giving the road versus
sure.
home series. That would go 7-8. That would put you 15-15.
Yeah, I think if Auburn is 15-15, obviously 7-8 does not look the same, especially if two of those wins come in Gainesville and you're 2-1 and then all of a sudden you're 5-6 to end the season. I think that changes things a little bit, but if it's a struggle against Florida and Gainesville, but you get hot late, like we talk about a lot in SEC basketball or football, of how much those guys that have a say base what you are doing as of late as a big time factor. I think that is where Auburn needs to be. But going back to what I was talking about, some of these national sites and pair ratings is something that I look at a lot. Have a big website, a big following as well, but they posted on their social media that if you take today's net, this is what the current tournament outlook would be, and they have Auburn as an 8 seed. They have Auburn as the last national seed based off of who Auburn has played,
it's
who
impressive.
They have beat, who they could still beat upcoming. Obviously, again, the most difficult part of your schedule is upcoming.
So they factor that in on who you could beat?
On who you could play and who you could, or who you will play, who you could beat.
I don't know if I like that.
And
I don't know if I love that.
But that
I
is all
it,
very, very comparable. But if this is that, this conversation right here is not talking about that. This
okay.
is talking about right now.
What they've done.
There's a lot of the
point.
Future analytics of, if
sure.
you win these games and you lose these, where could you be? Almost like playing the tournament predictor or whatever when your college football
fair.
Playoff rankings are coming out. But
yeah.
they have Auburn right now as an 8 seed, the last national seed, hosting Southern Miss, UTSA, and Florida Gulf Coast University. UTSA gave Texas a run for their money last year,
yeah.
but more importantly, I look at teams like Wake Forest, who's a 2 seed, or Jacksonville State, who's a 2 seed that, according to this, would go to A&M. Oh, man.
Wow. How many SEC teams are 2 seeds? Remember, we were talking about that a couple weeks ago and how just miserable a 1 seed's going to be when they have to host an SEC team as a 2.
There are 3 right now.
Wasn't it like 8 or 9 the last time we looked at it a couple of weeks ago?
It has.
Ago?
Some of them have dropped. LSU is currently a 3 seed.
Well, yeah, they just got beat again this weekend.
Yeah. LSU is the 1-3 seed. I don't believe there are any SEC teams that are 4 seeds.
So LSU is third to last in the SEC standings.
Yeah, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Arkansas right now are the 2 selected 2 seeds. You look at the 1 seeds, Texas, Florida, A&M, Auburn, Georgia, Oklahoma State, Alabama, Ole Miss with Texas, Florida, A&M, and Auburn. Half of the eight national seeds being from the Southeastern Conference.
Jeez.
But another thing that also helps the Auburn Tiger team, Georgia Tech is a two seed, or the number two seed, the second number one seed. Auburn's 1-1 against them. You have a chance to win the series against Florida. You're going to play Texas A&M, and you're 1-0 against Florida State, which really helps your cause, which dives into even more of why this upcoming weekend against Florida could loom so large for this Auburn team if things go the possibility of really, really well in Gainesville.
And goes without saying, this would be winning a series you were not expected to win. Even when Florida wasn't playing its best baseball, just on paper when the schedule comes out, nobody expects, and this isn't a bash at Auburn by any means, but you're not expected to go on the road and win in the SEC against a top half team.
No.
You're just not supposed to. And so, just like every other sport, baseball is no different, where you go on the road and win the series that you're not supposed to, then you set yourself back up. You're ahead of the curve at that point.
Just for kicks and giggles, Coastal Carolina's a two seed going to Tuscaloosa.
Wow. Could you imagine? Oh, and that's a Coastal team that's slowly but surely getting healthier in their pitching rotation. They have just been destroyed in the injury bug, but they're slowly getting better. If the baseball gods love Auburn, they'll send Coastal Carolina to Tuscaloosa. They'll do it. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm saying, man. Make Auburn a top eight seed and send Coastal to Tuscaloosa. That's really all we want. But we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and switch gears. We got our guy Anthony Turling from AO Tourism joining us in the studio. That big soccer match coming to Jordan-Hare in June. This guy was a big reason why. We talk about that and the impacts of it next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us, and we're excited to have this guy on the show. He's on with our buddy Ben Taylor on Auburn Opelika this morning every Tuesday for Turling Tourism Tuesday, but he's now joining us in the studio to talk a little tourism and talk some sports because that's this guy's job. We got our guy Anthony Turling from AO Tourism, the Sports Development Director. Director with us in the studio. My man, it is so good to see you.
It is an honor to be on this show. Y'all know I'm an avid listener. I love y'all's show. I love all the shows on Auburn Network, so don't make me pick.
Good save.
Nice. But no, I have y'all on every day, and y'all do a great job. Y'all know what I feel about y'all, and so it's an honor to be on.
Well, we appreciate you coming in, and there's a ton that we want to discuss with you over the next 30 minutes or so, but you were a big part in you and your department and your staff and the folks at Tourism were a big part of the announcement made. Was that last week that we made that? Ooh. Where the days run together, you know that. Where Auburn announced that a soccer match, a pre-World Cup friendly match, will be coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium, including Argentina. Mm-hmm. Possibly the GOAT of the sport could be in Auburn, Alabama at Jordan-Hare Stadium. I mean, how cool was this for you to be a part of? We're going to talk some of the details and the mm-hmm. financial aspects and how this all came about. But the idea that one of the biggest events to ever be held inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium is coming up in less than 2 months.
You said it. As if you heard the press conference and you heard some quotes, there's big dreamers. I'm throwing air quotes up. And we're one of them. And, you know, we share this goal. And the thing is, none of this happens without Auburn Athletics, Auburn University, the city, and let's just say it, Jordan-Hare Stadium. If we don't have that stadium and situated where we are regionally, mm-hmm. And that's part of the story and part of my role and part of, you know, Auburn Athletics to understand the opportunities before they're really – you have to know the opportunity before others know it, right?
Yeah.
Because this is a competitive business, sports tourism. So, you know, several years ago, you know, I did, Jacob, used to think, all right, the biggest thing in, you know, for me as a sports tourism professional, I used to be on the sports event planning side, running events for cities that were generating economic impact. And I used to always think, you know, the biggest thing that this community would probably be able to host was college football playoff, which is obviously, attainable for a football program. You know, and I cannot think of anything else that is the magnitude of the eyeballs from an international standpoint, the media, which y'all very well understand. This is going to be broadcast across the world to 200 countries, right? Yeah. On ESPN digital. But just the sheer amount of people, and then just knowing that it's Argentina, three-time world champion, defending World Cup champion, and Iceland, who is no slouch.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you mentioned Messi. It is the biggest thing to ever happen here. And so for me, you know, I'm like a kid in the candy store, as they say, Christmas morning. When you started coming into the intro, I was getting chills just thinking about it. It really is. It's a passion, but it's also what this community is about to experience. And yes, the dollars and cents, but also the pride of people that have never thought to come to Auburn, Opelika, or Alabama. Even the event promoter, you know, that we were having dinner with Tuesday night, first time to ever come to Alabama. And this is the reason
That's
why.
Cool. Yeah.
There's a lot of people to thank. There's a lot of people to love on. And the list is really long, but it's definitely got to start. The tip of the spear is Auburn Athletics, Auburn University, their leadership. And I shared this on LinkedIn. It's a really neat thing when you can come together and you can, you know, you're all meeting kind of individually. Like 2 years ago, I said, hey, we got the World Cup coming. This is an opportunity. I didn't know that was a shared opportunity, but
That's so
we
cool.
don't work in silos, yeah. and this community doesn't work in silos. And we have great partnerships, city, university, athletic department. And there were shared objectives and goals, and we all got to work. We all have different contacts. And it was over a year plus of conversations, meetings, and I'm not going to sit here and say I'm the reason, cause I definitely am not. It takes a whole village, as we say here in this community. But shout out to Auburn Athletics and their administration, because without them and the highest of the leadership, and of course our city, couldn't do this.
If there's anybody that has questions for Anthony, whether the phone lines are open at 334-321-1390, the text box always open as well at 334-784-1067. You mentioned, Anthony, the regional attraction that Jordan Hare and Auburn, Alabama is able to bring. How much of that is a selling point? Are there videos of what Auburn football looks like on a Saturday night that helps develop that? Obviously, we know that Aggieland and College Station is another home, and
yep.
so is that simply a conversation of we're going to find some of the best atmospheres in the South to portray some sort of replication of what these next couple of weeks are going to look like? How did that entire situation go down?
Yeah, it's definitely. I mean, Auburn is used to this community, and all the partners and stakeholders are used to running massive events, right? It's called Auburn football. And there's a lot of other things too. And so, you know, I was reading an article from Texas A&M just a few minutes ago with their, you know, basically the same people
sure.
that put theirs together. And he used the word, from a PlayStation standpoint, we just push X and there it goes, right? Because you've got public safety, you've got infrastructure, you know what you get, what you need. Between, you know, public safety, city, public works, obviously university staff, athletics, volunteers, all the things. I could go on a list of infrastructure that you need to make something like this happen. Outside of having our own international airport, that was the only thing we lacked, but we are near a very big one mm-hmm. in an international one named Atlanta. But some of the things that from an opportunity I'm very fortunate to be able to hear from amazing sports figures, and one of them being the Hunt brothers, not the one that owns the Kansas City Chiefs, but the other one that people aren't as familiar with. He's still a big name. He is massive in soccer. Long story short, sitting in a session and was just hearing him talk about, this was over 3 years ago, and was saying, hey, if you're a community that is not, and this is part of how we figured out we were an opportunity, if you're a FIFA World Cup training site, then you can't host a friendly. Obviously, the match sites like Atlanta, Dallas, Boston, mm-hmm. they're not hosting friendlies,
sure.
you know, as far as, you know, like us on the last game.
Is that a regulation thing?
There's a regulation from a training standpoint.
Okay.
Like certain places can host training sites
gotcha.
Because there's more than just the matches that go on with FIFA. There's the training. These teams from these countries are trying to get acclimated, one, to our country, acclimated time zone-wise, temperature-wise.
Yeah.
They're trying to replicate what it's going to be like out in California if they're playing out there, or in Atlanta. You know, so there was clear opportunities for us because of Jordan-Hare Stadium, the distance from an airport, When you have a stadium that seats over 89,000 people and the pitch, yeah, it's not a field, it's called a pitch in soccer or football, the pitch was nearly perfect, right? And so we got, there was some luck that came into it, you know, but there was also calculated opportunity and calculated things that we went into it with. So, you know, and if you look at it, the road to 26 is literally just that. It's a lead up to the World Cup. And if you look at who we were going against, and believe me, there were other destinations that did not get this. So, you know, we won, they lost. Sorry, that's how it works. But you have Brazil, Egypt, and Huntington Bank Field, which is Cleveland, Ohio. That's a decent-sized stadium.
Yeah.
Bolivia, Scotland, and the Sports Illustrated Stadium in New Jersey. Argentina, Honduras, Caulfield. We know how big that stadium is. And then, of course, us. For us to get the last game before the World Cup kicks off, what, in like 4 days later?
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is probably the biggest win.
That is a huge win.
And, of course, Argentina, let's not forget.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we've talked about. It is, you know, from the sports fanatic standpoint, it's like, man, you have an opportunity to see a high-level soccer match for maybe the one and only chance you'll get unless you go out of your way to go to an actual World Cup or something like that. And then if Messi does, you know, make the trip and travel and play, or even if he doesn't, even if you just have a chance to see him in person. I mean, he's
not playing for much longer.
Yeah.
I mean, he may stay around for the Olympics, but that's two more years. So
I mean, he's the
knows?
GOAT of his sport. I mean, how many GOATs have you seen in person? You know what I mean? I mean, I can count on one hand. I'm sure we all can, you know. So just from that perspective, and that's why I think we encourage fans and people in this town with this match coming up on June 9th, right,
mm-hmm.
in Jordan-Hare.
7:30.
Even if you're not a soccer fan, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, for hey, especially being right here in Auburn.
I'm not a soccer fan.
but you,
and what's funny is there's people heavily involved in this that are not soccer fans either, but we are now.
How much have you learned through this process?
A lot. How much did I find myself watching the Mexican League? A lot. How much did I find myself watching Premier League? A lot.
Yeah.
How much did I find myself watching USA Women play the other, I think it was this Saturday, actually, or last Saturday? A lot. But when you think about, and what was really neat was one of the very early beginning conversations was ATP, stands for average ticket price. That was a big deal. And as you heard Rhett talk about, you heard, I mean, it's in the press release. It was a big deal because if you've looked at the World Cup prices, and these are not cheap places to go. Atlanta, yeah, you could drive over, but you might as well, hey, stay here and then drive over. So if anybody's listening and you just want to stay here overnight and then drive over to Atlanta, we'll pick up some extra room.
That's right.
That way.
There's a hotel or two around.
But the point is that was a heavy, heavy, heavy conversation, and it was almost a non-negotiable. And I'm not going to speak to as far as Auburn Athletics and all that, but I know that was a very important thing to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so because you're giving someone who, hey, I'm an Auburn fan, I want to see something iconic under the lights. There you go. That checks a box. You don't have to be a soccer fan. You don't have to know what in the world you're watching. You know, we do have a blog up, you know, aotourism.com, shameless plug about, hey, if you're used to watching football, well, this is the football version.
Yeah, that's cool.
Non-American football version. But that was a big deal. And so, you know, pre-sale or public tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. They've been doing pre-sales. I know they have been going really well. You know, so just first time ever in an iconic stadium. At night, and shout out to my guy, Paris with Auburn Athletics. He makes as the magic happens, you know. So when you see all of that, the lasers and the fireworks and all the things that tie in together that make Auburn game day one of the best, if not the best in the country, that's part of the reason why we were chosen, because they know that press play button or that X, as Texas A&M said, it just works. And yeah, you're going to see some different stuff on a soccer, in a big game, a soccer match. You're going to see ribbon boards around the field. You don't see that,
mm-mm.
you know, in football,
yeah.
period. You know, but the numbers, and when we get into the economic numbers, it's a conservative number. We fully expect it to be larger than what we're reporting. You know, so it's exciting. And part of this is, look, at the end of the day, there's going to be just as many, we hopefully have a sellout, but people forget when you're thinking Auburn football, how many people are outside that stadium?
Mm-hmm.
How many people get drawn out of their own homes that live in this market, right? That still go spend money in our local businesses. That's not, I'm going to get in the weeds, that's not net new money because you live here, but I guarantee you if we all think, and people listen, if you think of someone that attends a football game but does not go, whether they live outside of Lee County or live within, they still are a part of it, right? Mm-hmm. They still spend money. And so we're going to have a lot of people that do not get tickets, cannot get tickets. Hopefully it's a sellout. And then they're going to be tailgating. They're going to truly understand what SEC football Southern tailgating is. But also, if we know soccer fans, they like to go to bars and restaurants. They like to watch.
They get wild.
And
yeah.
As they call it, pubs over in Europe. So I encourage businesses, if you are questioning if this is going to impact your business, it will.
They should lean into it, if anything.
Absolutely lean into it. The amount of fans from Argentina, the Icelandic fans. You know, the last time Iceland was in the States was in 2016, and they actually played Argentina.
Okay.
And, you know, if you've ever heard, if you do any kind of research, Google the Viking clap with Iceland.
Oh, yeah.
It's very similar to what
to the skull.
The skull
right?
clap.
Yeah.
Yes, and very similar to somewhat similar to Minnesota Vikings when they do that.
Right.
It's a similar concept. But I think there's going to be some pent-up demand just for their fans, not to mention the average fan, the Auburn fan. So it's going to be a big deal.
I mean, for those that have not seen an event like this, think of fourth quarter, fourth and one, ball at midfield, you're down three. That's what the home side, and that's what the crowd is going to look like.
Yes,
and then on the transfer portal side of things, you mentioned it. If you can't have the first visit, you want the last visit, and that's what Auburn and Jordan-Hare Stadium are going to get.
The energy in a – and I've watched plenty of big soccer matches. I've never had the opportunity to go. Now I will. The energy – we're all sports fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know this room is, and everybody listening should be. If you watch any kind of international soccer match, you just see the energy's different, right? It's not – like in American sports, especially football, where it's the cloud of dust in 4 or 5 seconds, and then you're cheering, and then you're sitting. You know, and that was a great way to describe that, Christian. It's almost like that the entire match.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and look, like Molly said, with Unified Events, somebody asked, is Messi going to play? We knew that question is going to be the first one probably.
Always.
Or why now or why here? But I think it was like the second one. That's why they put him on the poster. You know, but you can't ever know. There's things that happen.
Yeah.
You know, so, but we hope he's here. We hope he plays. And, you know, that's why he's being promoted.
It's a big deal for Auburn and Jordan-Hare Stadium to have the soccer match coming in early June. We've got our guy Anthony Turling in the studio of AO Tourism, the sports development director over there. He was a big reason for why and how this became a thing. We're going to talk some of the numbers in a quick segment when we come back and wrap up hour number one right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. We got our friend Anthony Turling of AO Tourism in the studio with us, the sports development director over there, and he does so much for this community, not just talking this major event, the soccer match coming to Jordan-Hare, but pretty much any sort of tournament or sporting event that comes here, pickleball or swimming tournament. I mean, any of that type of stuff, you've got your hands all over that, brother. I mean, you're a big part of what happens around here.
Just quick stat, we hosted 86 events last year. That had nothing to do, and I say that in all due respect, of that just didn't count Auburn athletic events. So no SEC equestrian or anything, or obviously all the games that happen, like one-offs as I call them. But we, tourism with our partners, hosted 86 different sporting
That's
events.
Awesome.
And that includes things like you just mentioned, because we have a PPA, Pro Pickleball Association tournament this weekend in Opelika. So
we're always busy. There's always stuff going on. And again, we're talking the soccer match coming to Jordan-Hare in less than 2 months. I mean, was that the – and we've talked you into staying with us for the first segment of the second hour, where we'll talk a little bit more about this. We'll talk some more other Auburn athletic stuff too, since you've got your finger on the pulse with, you know, transfer portal, baseball, stuff like that. So we'll get your thoughts on that coming up in the second hour. But was it the plan plan? We got about 3 minutes here before our hour is over. Was it the plan to announce this with just 2 months before the game? It seems tight, right? I know there's a ton that happens and has to happen before an announcement can be made because everything's got to be in line. But then you've got 2 months.
Yeah.
2 months from announcement day to game day. That's not a whole lot of time.
No, I laugh because it was like a roller coaster of just all things, right? Like I told a family member back in early February, they were like, there was a little bit of a letdown, and they were like, do you get your hopes up? I said, I stopped doing that a long time ago with this stuff because, you know, you're bidding on things. You're having conversations. We weren't direct, you know, Auburn Athletics was leading this charge. And so there were multiple, you know, opportunities. The press conference, I think, got moved to several times. You know, it's just a moving target, let's just say that, because you're communicating – at the same time, it's an opportunity for a lot of different communities in this country, right? And they're doing the same thing we're doing. There's the Auburn Athletics and the Anthony's of AO Tourism all across this country that have, you know, stadiums and infrastructure that can handle it. Sure. That we're looking for this too. I mean, Columbia, South Carolina hosted back in 2024, Liverpool and Manchester United, for all you non-soccer fans, just say Man U. You know, so I know they were actively going for it. I know LSU was actively going for it. So that's part of why this was such a moving target. And shout out to Auburn Athletics. It was just a daily fluid situation. And if you saw what ESPN, quote, leaked, you know, earlier before the actual announcement happened, you saw how fluid that was.
Yeah.
And if you saw that, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, we have several people who have texted already. The text box asking what the number of people expected that's going to be here, the financial impact that it's going to make. We're going to keep that for the start of the second hour because we don't have enough time right now. Because
no.
I know you've got notes and just dozens of numbers and things. But just in terms of the atmosphere of what this event will be, again, we'll talk more on the expected numbers and the money side of things and all of that. But, I mean, this is expected to be, I mean, as big as, again, we said it, as big of an event as Auburn has ever had inside of that stadium.
And doubling down on that, what you mentioned during the break, and we'll, I'm sure, talk about a little bit more, but this is only the start. This is only the opening of the door.
Yes, and just think international, right? Eyeballs, 200 countries. Not to mention the people in town and the money generated, but the value of that being seen. And they're going to mention Auburn, Alabama on that broadcast a million times. And y'all get that, y'all broadcasters.
Yeah, that's a big deal. We'll continue talking this to start hour number two. Our guy Anthony Turling from AO Tourism. We're having our own Tourism Turling Tuesday or Turling Tourism Tuesday, whatever Ben Taylor calls it. We're having our own here on ESPN 106.7. He joins us to start hour number two. Plus, we talk more Auburn baseball, and Alex Petrovic of Auburn baseball is with us in the second hour as well. Don't you dare turn that radio dial.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn Athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a beautiful day here in Auburn and Opelika. If you missed any of the first hour of today's show, you know what to do at this point, right? Go check out the podcast version on our station website at ESPNAU.com. You can also check it out in the podcast center on our Radio Alabama app. So be sure to download that. It's the best way to access all of our family or radio stations here at Auburn Network. But again, you can listen to the show live there every day and find the podcast there as well. In hour number one, we did our weekly deep dive into Auburn baseball, talked about how the Tigers got it done against the Kentucky Wildcats this past weekend. Also looked around the SEC a little bit because we're halfway through the SEC baseball season, as crazy as that is. Kind of looked at the standings, looked at some of the projections as well, and how Auburn is still on track to do what we expected them to do in this season. Plus, we began our conversation, and we continue our conversation here in hour number two with our guy Anthony Terling of AO Tourism, the sports development director. And yeah, he said, hey, can I have like 10 minutes? And we were like, yeah, you want 2 hours? And that's pretty much where we are at this point. So a lot more of that here in hour number two, Christian, plus a cool interview we have coming up in a little bit as well.
Yeah, a little bit further baseball conversation, talking about the series upcoming against Florida. Also a little conversation on the game tonight against Alabama State. You talk about the season flying by. This is the last home midweek game for the Auburn Tigers, and that puts into perspective how fast the Auburn baseball season has gone by. Also, our guy Alex Petrovic joins the show to have a really fun conversation, the reigning SEC pitcher of the week. And so you don't want to miss that. But you also don't want to miss the conversation that we continue to start here in hour number two.
Yeah, talking the soccer match coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium on the 9th of June under the lights for Iceland and Argentina. And again, a guy who had his hands all in this situation and was a big reason why this is happening. Anthony Terling from AO Tourism. You can check out everything they have going on at AOTourism.com. The sports development director, great friend of ours. He's with Ben Taylor every single Tuesday for, is it Terling Tourism Tuesday? Is that what he comes up with? The craziest name.
He knocked it down to Terling Tuesdays, which actually was an inspiration for another thing I do with our charity. but yes, it's Terling Tourism Tuesdays. It just had a good ring to it.
Hour two with Terling on Tuesday.
Yeah, hour two of on. Yeah,
don't mind. Make me say that too much.
The Shriners Children's Charleston's Classic Champion.
Look, yeah, I've had multiple people, including the lady who delivers our mail, and my wife couldn't stand it. She was like, you're blowing his head up. She was like, delivered my mail and said, are you Anthony Terling who owns the radio show? And I was like, well, I don't own it. I go on it. It's all for network. That's great that you listen.
Yeah.
But it just shows y'all's stations. There's a lot of great listeners, obviously locally, but obviously all the ones on the Radio Alabama app, right? Mm-hmm. I've done this before, huh?
That's right.
But no, I always just share how much people, anytime somebody's asking me about, do I need to advertise with radio? Simple, yes. Because here in this group and the amount of people that listen to the local shows, because mm-hmm. there's a bunch of them, 7 hours of local programming or
just
something like that?
ESPN
just on
alone.
ESPN.
Yep.
So, period, it gets out.
Boom.
And happy to be here.
We didn't even ask him to say.
No, I didn't. They didn't
That's
pay me,
so
I promise.
Crazy.
I sent him a text. He just has
oh, okay.
maybe.
And if you're not a sponsor, I will not mention yeah. your name. I get in trouble for that every now and then, but I don't want Steve mad at me.
No free pub, Anthony. No free pub. That's what we subscribe to. But no, we are talking more about the soccer match coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium. We've had several people in our text box, and you can be a part of that as well. 334-784-1067. If you have questions for him, we're diving into the numbers. He'll be with us for the next several minutes. We're talking the numbers of this and why it is so important. Even if you are not a soccer fan, if you're a sports fan, this is a big deal. We've had people text about the ticket prices / numbers, the amount of people expected to be coming into Auburn for this event. I thought you did a great job of breaking down in the first hour about how there will be thousands of people that come to Auburn who don't even go to the game, right? And then ultimately the financial impact for the city of Auburn, even Opelika, and then of course across Lee County.
So this is a regional impact, and I don't mean just Lee County region. I mean Columbus to Montgomery, and you just draw a circle. That's the impact I personally believe, just studying numbers, being around sports for 14 years, obviously being in the industry and talking to people in big destinations, big places, you know, that host major international events of all types. And that is very comparable. And so I estimate there's going to be a sellout. That's just with preliminary numbers.
Of nearly 89,000 people, or 87,000,
yes, yeah. What is it now? If you go in the football locker room, I think it's like 89,000 something, you know. So I project a sellout. And so the numbers as far as, and just remember, this is going to impact, one, we have about 3,500 hotel rooms. That means keys to a door. So all the hotels in Auburn and Opelika, there's about 3,500 rooms. I promise you those will be sold out.
Not including the guest rooms that you willingly give out.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah, at the Turling compound that my wife would be – she would fire me. But the you also got to remember there's short-term rentals, a.k.a. Airbnbs, VRBOs, game day rentals, all the things that people forget. You've got RV parks. You've got campsites. You've got Chihuahua. You've got all these things that during a football home game, they get pretty much sold out to a degree. And so for an average – year in Auburn from a football standpoint, and these are active, accurate numbers based on football. So our average occupancy for all our hotels and lodging in the area is about 80%. So when you think about, like, and these numbers are based off the Texas A&M game when we played them, what, in 2024? This is revenue. I'll give you the total impact. Just to give you the top, the total direct impact that we believe it'll be 10 to 11 million. That is conservative. Jeez. That is what we are projecting. That is what A&M is projecting with theirs. The Columbia, South Carolina game, the Liverpool Manchester United game that was held at South Carolina 2024. And just keep in mind, that's a big deal when you host Manchester United and Liverpool, the Premier League. They're like the top teams, but this is bigger. And also this is before the World Cup. So keep those two things in mind. Mm-hmm. They had a $13 million total economic impact.
Wow.
That's only with 77,000 fans, by the way.
Holy cow. And you said that number that you just listed for Auburn is on the conservative side of things.
Conservative side. Because here's the things that we don't know. The things that go unknown right now are the rights holder who owns the rights to the event. That's the group that is part of the Road to 26. What expenses are they spending in our market? I'll give you a comparable just to show you the sheer numbers. If you're familiar with the War Eagle Run Fest, a.k.a. the half marathon that comes, this past year, the company that puts that on in our own market in Lee County, if it was taxable, we capture it. They spent over $100,000 from their company to run the event in our market. Imagine what they're going to spend on this. It's much, much, much bigger.
And that was a run.
And that was a run. Thank
I mean,
you.
And not, look, I am
no,
a runner.
I know.
That's what I did in high school.
By the way, 7,000 runners and not, 100,000 people of spectators and all the things.
This is a soccer match.
This is a soccer match because don't fill the stadium. And remember, it's international. So from a revenue standpoint, so now we've talked about total direct economic impact, which is your taxes, your revenues, all the things together. This can go very much into the weeds.
Yeah.
The revenues that I walk into a coffee shop, I walk in to eat, I go in and go to a bar, whatever it is, or I stay in a hotel. On average, our hotel revenues for a home football game are $8.7 million in revenue alone. That's just revenue. So that's in lodging, that's food and beverage, that's entertainment, that's retail. That does not include things like ticket sales, because the university collects the ticket sales and they write a check to the city for the sales tax, right? You also don't have in-stadium sales accounted for in that. So that number is bigger. So point is, it's a lot of money. And the community is going to reap benefits from it.
You guys didn't do this just because, oh, that would be cool. Like, no, there is a business.
There's a cool factor
this.
Of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the business side of it, and you know, so just in direct local tax receipts, so you take those revenues, that $8.7 million, and again, we estimate always on a conservative level.
Which I think is smart.
Yes, because it's always better to see something go higher. But from a direct local tax receipts from a home football game, $2.6 million is on average collected from our local taxes. And people forget, because I hear people say, well, Auburn collect Opelika, Lee County as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had people come up to us, because I know if you just if you're listening, Google hotel rates for this date range in this market, see what you see. It's a lot.
Yep.
Our average daily rate, aka ADR, is on average. So any given day you come in here that doesn't have a big event going, you're looking at about $120. That's on average. That means you still can find a hotel that's got a $80, $90 rate, right? But then we've got some really nice hotels here. On a football game, your ADR usually is around $295. We've seen it up to $419 with Penn State. Remember that game where there were hotels selling it?
Yeah.
I don't.
Hey, we aren't talking wins and losses on the field. We're talking economics.
Yeah.
Because I'm a fan too, and that was terrible. But you're going to see, if you just Google rates right now in Auburn, Opelika for that week, you're going to see what the rates are, right? And then go do it in Montgomery. Go do it in Columbus. They're preparing because they know this is going to be a regional, what I call the ripple effect. So a lot of people don't realize for every given Auburn football game, because I've had family say, well, I had something going on in Montgomery and I can't get a rate under a couple hundred bucks in East Chase. What's going on, Auburn football? That affects Montgomery? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There are constantly people that are staying outside this market because, A, you can't find a hotel room maybe that you want to stay at. You don't want to pay that rate. Or, you know, it might be sold out of what you want. So this will definitely have regional implications. I project a sellout. That is me personally saying that, and just what, you know, I've talked to people around the country that are hosting similar events. I did mention, obviously, the 10 to 11 million of total direct impact. I do believe that's going to be higher. If you had to, you know, hold me to it, I believe that, yes, sell out in the stadium, and I believe there'll be another 30 plus thousand people here.
That's crazy. Well, I mean, is the stat still true of the city of Auburn becomes like a top five populated state on any football game day?
City, yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, we're seven right now in the population of the state from a city perspective. But when you add in all the people that come in, because I did a quick report on a given home game, and I can see with data and with cell phone data how many people are from the market and how many people are outside the market. On any given home football game, guess how many states in our country are represented? Just total number.
20.
38.
Holy smokes.
Would you have guessed that?
Clearly not. Obviously. I was halfway away.
And look, I could do that for every game. I could do that for the Penn State game. I could have done that. I could do that for the Missouri game when they first came, right? They had never come.
I assume you're going to do that for the soccer game on a country perspective. How cool is that going to be?
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to see, and obviously you're going to have, you know, across the pond or international visitors here. That's one thing we cannot put our arms around right now because we don't have data for things that we've hosted because this is the first time ever. So we lean on people that have, you know, from a drive standpoint, you know, that's one thing from a regional standpoint. Auburn and Opelika are very much geographically situated. We're not hard to get to. You ever try to go to Penn State? Super hard. You ever try to go to, like, Missouri or, heaven forbid, Arkansas?
Yeah.
Sorry, Arkansas. Sorry, Pig Suey. But these are hard places to get to, and everybody's always like, oh, you don't have an airport. Hey, by the way, if you can fly into Auburn Opelika Airport. Shout out my guy, Adam Fouts. But Atlanta's a 90-minute hop and a skip, literally, from the terminal. I do it all the time. So when you have that, and then you have low prices, and it's not in Atlanta, it's not a Boston, it's not a Dallas, that's going to be absorbent from just anything. Even if you buy a drink there, it's like $15. And then on top of it, the ticket prices. And just seeing some preliminary ticket numbers, and I can't share those, but I will just say the pre-sale has been very successful. it blew my mind what I just read. And I am very confident we will have a sellout.
And this has been announced for less than a week.
Yes.
So,
and look, you know, as far as the drive part, you know, just in that the game that Columbia, South Carolina hosted, they had 70% of those 77,000 fans. And remember, that's just ticketed. It's hard to capture who's outside that stadium, and we've got some software that can do that. But they're going off ticket sales, zip codes, things like that. 70% of those fans traveled over 150-plus miles away.
That's wild.
So if you think about that.
Think about that.
They didn't have 300-plus miles. Yeah. I have data that I like to see where I go 150-plus miles from Auburn, 300-plus miles from Auburn. Because when you start thinking that when you're driving that far or traveling –
Nashville, 6 hours.
North Carolina. You think of all the places within 6 hours of us. That's a lot.
Even the people that are just going down to Atlanta to watch the teams over the next couple of days.
Correct.
Of, hey, why not make a little pit stop?
Correct.
Or, again, being from Atlanta, I've seen the Atlanta United fan base grow. And to think about what that is going to do of, oh, man, we're here in a couple of days, but why not drive an hour and a half and go watch a game?
And that is something that, like, even, you know, what we just got done watching, the Masters. People don't realize that we attract golfers that go watch the Masters. They either stop before they head and hit Grand National in our great golf courses, and then they come back. And believe me, we are marketing that. We are geofencing and saying, hey, stop at our great golf courses in Auburn Obelé before you head to Augusta. And we see in data that it happens. So to your point, Christian, people will do that. And that was part of what made this market, this area, outside of the stadium and the infrastructure, this is a valuable market. We're soccer fans. And, you know, people ask, why is this happening? It's no different than the NFL going to Europe, NFL going, you know, all the Germany games, all the things, Ireland. Think of what MLB does. It's trying to grow the game at the lowest levels of grassroots youth soccer all the way to the highest. Hence why Messi came to play. And I'm not a soccer fan, but I get that.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to make America great in soccer.
Yeah.
And they're going to at least force feed those that don't like soccer, right? Us, to become fans. But this is something where you don't even have to be a fan and you can get into this.
Which is really cool.
And it's comparable to, I mean, being the baseball guy as well, World Baseball Classic, of the
amount that brings
to everybody, and places like Miami being able to host Cuba and Puerto Rico, and seeing the response from that was awesome.
One thing that was neat, and one thing I will say, if you are looking to get tickets, I highly encourage you to be sitting at your computer, holding your phone, whatever you do, a tablet, whatever. You better be getting on there at 10 a.m. because I can promise you they're going
to
go.
Well, let's plug all of that when we come back. We do need to get to break. Let's plug that. We'll give the final details. Again, we got our guy Anthony Turling from AO Tourism with us in the studio talking the soccer match coming to Jordan-Hare in just a couple of months. Phone is blowing up. Text box going crazy with several more questions and comments as well. We'll get to those. Plus, want to let you plug something else cool that you got going on as well. Have that for you as we're just underway in hour number two here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on talking with our buddy Anthony Turling from AO Tourism, who has so graciously taken time out of his day to come and speak with us here on ESPN 106.7 about the super cool, again, soccer match coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium. And we got about 5 minutes here, so I know we want to kind of put a bow on this and finish up this conversation. Several people have texted in. Someone said, case in point, says, I used to work at the Atlanta airport. Masters week is the busiest week of the year, which is kind of what we were talking about, mm-hmm. and how that will bleed in with the soccer game, with most people flying into Atlanta, how that impacts the city of Auburn. People talking about better get your reservations for all your restaurants. And I know,
good point.
Yeah.
You better go ahead and book your reservations and your hotel rooms.
Yeah.
And, of course, tickets at 10 a.m. tomorrow.
And this person says, and I know this is something you have been open and discussing with our buddy Ben Taylor on Auburn Opelika this morning. This person says, as a local business owner, I'm excited, but not going above and beyond yet. This makes up for the Baylor game.
Hey, good point. And not going to run from it. I remember the day it happened. this man over here text me, Jacob. And
I
so,
said, uh-oh.
Look, I'll start with my hat of tourism, which is all about local community, local business, has nothing to do with the visitors. It's all about local community because what we do is generate that with the visitor. It, lack of a better term, it sucked, right? You know, for local businesses, for the local economy, which is obviously the lifeblood the businesses are, and the individuals that you know, even the fans. I'm a fan. As I tell people, on a game day of any sport, baseball, basketball, tennis, swimming, diving, doesn't matter, equestrian, I'm a all Auburn fan. So I'm just that on game day.
Yeah.
So as a fan, I get it. If I worked in a little pro sports and a little bit of small collegiate athletics, if I put my revenue hat on and something I definitely cannot understand fully, like they do, NIL, it's the bear in the room, the elephant, it makes sense. Is it something that everybody's happy with? No. But this is part of a reason to and it's just the start. I mean, look at the concerts. Look at the bananas, you know, in Plainsman. That was, you know, hopeful leading into something bigger. You've got all these opportunities, but also the entertainment value. This is entertainment. We all forget that sports is entertainment. And this community needs entertainment, right? We have entertainment in a lot of ways. So, you know, my answer comes in three parts. Tourism, not good. Fan, understand it. Collegiate athletic administrator, totally get it, right? I mean, what was it, $6 to potentially $9 to $10 million of NIL on top of the revenue they get from it? And as I said to y'all off air, we all forget about Players New Era Basketball. That's NIL. The crown, quote, you know, postseason basketball tournament, whatever that is, for NIL. So they've been doing it. It's just Auburn had a good opportunity, and it was a unique opportunity. But the one thing that I get to see in working with these individuals for almost eight years now with Auburn Athletics and University, they care about this community, and everybody knows that. It's not just about what happens on that campus or in those walls of Jordan-Hare Stadium, Plainsman Park, wherever. Their kids go to our schools. They you know, have businesses. There's a lot of things. So it's a community thing.
But the good thing is, again, the event that we've been talking about will make up for that in a big way. And so I'm excited for this event. Tickets go live to the public tomorrow at 10 a.m., right?
10 a.m.
So tell people what they need to know, where they can find that information for again, the general public to buy tickets to the soccer match coming up in June.
You can go to auburntigers.com. I mean, you will see there's tons of information over there. You can get direct, you know, to the tickets. Also, you can go to road to 26.com, road to 26.com, or just go to auburntigers.com, your familiar and friendly place to get tickets. But both of those places, they go through the same ticket site. And I highly, highly encourage you, just knowing some of the pre-sale numbers, that you should be ready to go at 10 a.m. And so it'll be interesting to see the turnout. But I'm also excited because I'll share a little story I mentioned earlier, just didn't get into the full details of it. But one of the Hunt brothers sitting there 2-3 years ago at a conference talking about the World Cup coming, really talking about all the international sporting events that are coming to America, right? We've got LA 28. Don't even know about the World Cup of rugby, World Sevens. I'm a big rugby guy. That's a big deal too. But the international implications, as I always say, sports tourism is economic development. People ask what my title means. I'm like, it's economic development through sports. And they're like, oh, I get that, because not many people understand what sports tourism are until I ask them, have you traveled to be a fan? Have you traveled to be a vendor at a sporting event? Have you participated? Have you officiated? All those things. And I'm like, you're part of sports tourism. In 2032 in the world, it's going to be a multi-trillion-dollar industry, the sports tourism industry. That's by 2032. It's already a multi-billion-dollar industry, and it's not stopping. And this is one of the examples. But Hunt shared, when we host something like this, or really anything major of magnitude like this, you have someone that owns a company, you have a president of a major manufacturer, you have people that make decisions to either A, grow a new business in a new market like Auburn Opelika Lee County, or relocate a business in Auburn Opelika Lee County. And I promise you there's already efforts being made by the way smarter people of economic development departments of our two cities working that.
Oh yeah.
So it's entertainment. It's local opportunities for our business owners, our fans, Auburn fans, soccer fans, little kids that get to see. My son is ecstatic. He did kind of throw up, it's not Ronaldo. And I'm like, how do you know Ronaldo? Of course, he learned it from FIFA, the game. But you're going to give a kid a dream by watching this, you know? And then just the sheer neat factor of watching it under the lights in Auburn. But this could leave lasting implications for Auburn and Opelika Lee County forever. The amount of eyeballs, 200 countries, I can't imagine what the Nielsen ratings are going to be, aka the amount of people that are watching. And what somebody's going to see when they hear Auburn, Alabama, they're going to hear stories, and they might, that might make them make a decision to say, I'm going to make a visit to there one day. You just never know. I'm trying to go through all the opportunities or examples where this is a big deal.
The impacts of this will be, and this is what you're alluding to, I mean, there's no real timetable on how long the impacts of this will affect Auburn, Opelika, Lee County.
100%.
I mean, years and years and years.
Yep. I have seen even sporting events on a lot smaller scale that we have been heavily in part of, contracted and running, where facilities or people get opportunity, food trucks, restaurants make the money that they would have not made during that event, during that week, if it wouldn't have been for that event. You know, and for like Mayor Anders said in the press conference, to have when 30-something thousand students, quote, go home, right? And yes, some of them stay home because June is the summer, right? This is going to put an infusion of people, obviously dollars, into it. And for this to come at that time, obviously with the Baylor game and all that, but then on top of it, just period in the summer, it can be a slow time around here. And there are strategic efforts by me, Aubrey, our team, obviously people at athletics. There's a whole lot of things that go into events being hosted here. And it's not just sports, it's conferences. I mean, there were some things we were challenged with, us in athletics, on working through because of business that was already here, like conferences, meetings. There's a big golf tournament happening that weekend at RTJ. You know, so there's all things. People act, sometimes think, it's just Auburn football or it's just certain things that happen in this community. This is a 365-day-a-year destination for people to travel to. We don't have to have a beach. We don't have to have a mountain. We don't have to have an amusement park. Those things would be great, but we are of an area that people love to travel to, period.
And we have a stadium, and that helps.
And we have a iconic stadium that is only going to get better.
That's
if,
right.
If that vote happens this
week. How crazy was
vote,
that?
Yes. so it's only getting better, and I am just tickled to death that we are a small part of it and being able to host this.
Well, if people can't tell, again, Anthony Turling of AO Tourism with us in the studio, if people can't tell your drive, your passion, your energy for this, then I don't understand why they wouldn't, because you were, again, a big reason for this. You, everybody at Tourism, Auburn University, I can't even imagine the amount of people and organizations that were involved in making this happen. So thank you for coming in and talking about this. This all sparked from a simple text of, hey, do you have some of the numbers on this? And he was like, dude, I'll come in and I'll tell you everything you need to know. We were like, absolutely. So
10-4.
This was awesome, my man. We really appreciate it. For any information people need to find, forget AO Tourism in particular, but then for this event too, where can people go?
Of course, you can go to AOTourism.com, but look, Road to 26.com and AuburnTigers.com. You go to one of those three places. Our calendar listing has everything linked back to the website of Auburn Tigers and everything back to Road to 26. Just remember tomorrow at 10 a.m. Central, tickets for the public go on sale.
And then we're going to see you in just a couple of weeks, right? Isn't that crazy? Because this isn't the only thing you're working on. You've got your own golf tournament you're putting on here in
a few
weeks.
And I don't even play golf, guys.
we do.
Y'all do, and y'all are big supporters. Shout out Auburn Network. everybody, Steve, Ben, you guys, and what you're talking about is the charity that's named in my son's honor and a legacy, Austin First Foundation. He's talking about Aces for Austin, May 18th this year at Robert Trent Jones Grand National. We're almost sold out of golfers, but we have opportunities for sponsors. We have opportunities for raffle, silent auction prizes, and it raises money. Everything goes to Children's Hospital of Alabama and UAB's Undiagnosed Disease Program, because what it supports is rare disease. 1 in 10 Americans have a rare disease. Over 400,000 Alabamians have a rare disease. This is not a small problem. Mm. We are just one little small group that is trying to make a large impact. And without guys like you, the station, helping us get the word out, and just a community that has wrapped their arms around me and my wife and my family since our son passed away a few years ago, hence named Austin. And so $101,000 we have raised through those three golf tournaments. And so this is our fourth annual one. Go to austinfirst.org, and you'll see that. Thank you for letting me plug that.
Absolutely. We're excited to be a part of that and for a great cause, a great organization, and for a great family in the Turnlings, man. We appreciate you, brother.
Love it, man. Have fun.
We'll take a break. We'll come back as Alex Petrovic of Auburn Baseball had a chance to sit down with him earlier this morning. We talk about him winning SEC Pitcher of the Week and what it means to carry that momentum into Florida this weekend. That's coming up next.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader, continuing to talk Auburn baseball here in hour number two of today's show. And we continue a weekly series of talking with members of Auburn baseball, Butch Thompson, assistant coaches, players as well. And no better player to talk with today and this week than the SEC Pitcher of the Week, Alex Petrovic. My man, it's good to talk to you. We appreciate you taking the time today, and you got to be feeling pretty good coming off of last week's performance.
Yeah, definitely definitely had a great day, and just really glad we got the series win. I was able to compete, and really had all my stuff going, and glad we got the win.
Well, for you in this sophomore campaign, the redshirt sophomore campaign for you, where do you feel like you have grown from, whether it's last year to this year or even from the start of this season to where we are now in mid-April? Where do you think you've grown the most in seeing your game improve?
I think the mental part of the game for me has been a huge, huge improvement over the last few years, and being able to realize that, you know, you're young once you get into college, and then being able to get some experience my freshman year and some more experience my sophomore year, and feeling my best right now. But definitely the mental side of the game, knowing I was capable, but knowing how to handle success and handle failure, has definitely changed my career for sure.
From our side of things, man, it's been fascinating to watch the starting pitching for the entire Auburn baseball team, whether it's you, whether it's Jake, whether it's been Andreas, who has seen his role grow as well, or Jackson Sanders out there as well. I mean, it really doesn't matter which one of you is out there. The confidence for Butch Thompson and Tiefert and the guys is so high, and you guys seem to deliver just about every time you step on the mound. Have you been a part of a rotation like this that has such high quality starting pitching?
Definitely not. I mean, definitely taking it a little bit for granted. I mean, we work so hard, but you know, it's almost coming like we earned it, like we deserve it. And you know, we're going out there to go and take it, and it's not supposed to be given to us. But the kind of rotation we've built this year, we knew we were capable. Just had to go improve ourselves. And I mean, you bring it up, we got four legit starters that could pitch any game, anytime, anywhere. Like, that's unheard of almost. And we all carry the same mentality. Like, we're out here to go win ball games, and it's awesome to watch.
Are you somebody who gets caught up in what the order is of who pitches when, right? You have some Friday, Saturday, Sunday series, and then you have some of the Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, like we're going to see this weekend in Gainesville. Are you somebody that gets caught up on, okay, I'm going to start on Saturday, or actually Jackson could start Saturday, or they're going to move some guys around? Do you get caught up in that at all, or is it just, hey, give me the ball, and if you call my name, I'm going to go deliver?
It's exactly like the, you call my name, I'm going to go deliver. Knowing knowing that whenever I get the ball, it's my job to go out there and deliver for my team. And it does not change what day I throw. It does not change, you know, when I throw during that game. It's when I'm going to get the ball, I'm going to do my job. And I think that's everybody's mindset. And I mean, whatever the case may be, like, they want me to close a game. They want me to start a game. They want me to come in the middle of a game. Like, it's going to be me doing my job. That's my only mindset, my only goal that game.
Well, I would say you did a job this past weekend earning SEC Co-Pitcher of the Week, the third pitcher on this Auburn team who has earned that honor. Jackson Sanders, Jake Marciano, and now Alex Petrovic, who we're talking with on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7. Tell me the feelings and the thoughts when you got the news on the honors from the SEC, because, man, that's a big deal. I feel like some people may brush over that and be like, oh, that's cool, but they don't understand. It's like, dude, you were the best guy in the league, in the best league in college baseball. You were the best dude a week ago. Tell me what you were feeling when you got that news of SEC Pitcher of the Week.
No, it was a blessing for sure. And being able to get recognized in this league is an extreme honor. And, you know, so many good teams, so many good players. But I knew I had my stuff set as soon as we started that game on Sunday. And the fact that it was the rubber match made it even more important for us. And being able to hear my name from the coaches, you know, congratulating me on the honor, definitely, you know, made me smile, made me, you know, really feel about all the work that I put in leading up to this season, and then watching it, you know, unfold this year. It's been a real blessing.
Who delivered that news to you for Pitcher of the Week?
That was, I mean, the pitching coach and Teef and Butch.
Okay.
In our little team meeting. So just awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, man, you'd absolutely earned it. In a 7-inning complete game shutout against Kentucky in the rubber match, like you mentioned, where you were able to just completely sit down that Kentucky squad for Butch Thompson and the pitcher mindset he has. Of course, Tiefred, your pitching coach, for guys that say, pound the zone, pitch strikes, and let's get out of these innings. You did just that. You retired the first 11 batters that you faced in that game on Sunday. You also finished with 8 total strikeouts, just one shy of your career high, and you just were shoving on Sunday in this game. I mean, what do you think was working best for you in that performance, and what was it that allowed you to just continue to pound the zone, get out quickly, and eventually get the game win?
Yeah, we talked as a team, obviously before the weekend, but being able to watch the first game, the second game before I have that third game start is a big part of my process. You know, we can look at the videos and everything before we play a team, but being able to watch the team on the field, see those swings, see their mentalities and approaches, definitely helped me in my success for that game 3. And being able to execute pitches, get to the inside part of the plate with the fastball, land off speed, keep them off balance, and then just execute those late pitches, because they're a gritty lineup and they don't like to strike out a whole bunch. And I think just getting ahead, staying ahead, and really, really locating that fastball where I wanted to was a big part of the success.
I mean, 75% strikes across the entire game, Petro. That's legit. Those are numbers that I have to believe Butch Thompson and Tiefer were happy about, to see a 75% strike rate.
Yeah, that's what we talk about as a staff, and that's my identity as a pitcher too. So it's not a surprise to me. It's not a surprise to those guys. But you know, I didn't know that high. I was just out there doing my job, and I think that number reflects that.
Yeah, I think so. And also, too, I want to ask you, again, Alex Petrovic of Auburn Baseball with us here on the phone lines on ESPN 106.7. Jacob Goins with you as well. When the offense does what we know it can do with this lineup for Auburn, and they put up 3 runs in the first inning, knowing you go back out there with a 3-0 lead, how much does that change your mindset, or does it, or does it make you more comfortable? I mean, what does that feel like for you as a pitcher when your offense gives you an early lead, knowing that you don't want to make a mistake or get guys on or allow runs to come through, but you do have a little bit of wiggle room? Kind of talk me and walk me through what that does for you when your offense puts up early runs with you on the mound.
Yeah, I mean, the offense played great this week. Really, really good to see them, you know, killing the baseball. And when they put up early runs, it's my job to go out there and then get a quick zero and then let them come back and hit. Like, got to keep the momentum. We talk a lot as shutdown innings as pitchers. And whenever we score, they can't score, so that we can get back in the dugout, keep that momentum. It's a game of keeping momentum or getting it. And that's something that we always preach on. But when they're hitting the ball and we're pitching the ball, I don't know if there's a lot of teams that could beat us. So it was a phenomenal feeling that they swung it really well. And we pitched really well this weekend too.
Yeah, I would agree with that. If you guys are dealing on the mound like you have been, and the offense is putting up 7, 8, 9 runs like they have been as of late, it's going to be hard for teams to beat you on a nightly basis, but especially in 3-game sets as well, as we hit the back half of SEC play. Postseason play will be here before we know it. But a complete game for you, Petro, and 7 innings and the run rule, thanks to the offense and your shutdown performance. We were having the conversation on the show yesterday. It wasn't the 9-inning complete game, but 7 complete innings and getting the win, that's got to feel pretty good. Did that take you back to maybe some of your high school days of going 7 innings and going start to finish?
Definitely does. You know, we being able to go the distance, I mean, starters are, our standard is 5 innings, you know, get the relief only 4. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really try to get our bullpen guys, you know, not get them stretched out, but having the offense this weekend, especially on game 3, just, you know, 11 runs like in 7 innings, like that's unreal. And when we can do that, and I can do my job on the mound, I know we're going to be successful. But it freed me up a whole bunch to go out there and keep throwing strikes, keep attacking, and being able to go 7, which is crazy, complete game. But it's a huge thanks to the offense and just being able to let me be free and continue to do my job out there.
Well, Auburn gets the series win over Kentucky. They've got Alabama State going tonight inside of Plainsman Park. But as we talk with Alex Petrovic of Auburn Baseball, do want to flash forward just a little bit to the series coming up this weekend against the Florida Gators. Have you guys, I would assume you've started that scout by now, especially with it being the Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. If so, don't want to ask you to give too much away, but what is some of the early analysis of that Florida lineup for a team that hits about 269 on the year?
Yeah, we looked at them a little bit yesterday, but really just focused on this midweek. You know, coach talks a lot about being present, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We got a you know, home game, last home midweek of the season right here today. So really focused on that, and then once Wednesday comes around, we'll be really focused on Florida and then attack from there.
Yeah, and it's got to be weird on these short weeks, too, where you just come off a weekend, then you get into the midweek, and then immediately, I assume you guys will fly out, probably Wednesday morning, tomorrow morning, fly out and go down to Gainesville and get ready for that Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. Is it a little bit awkward to play the Thursday, Friday, Saturdays compared to the traditional Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
It's definitely a little different on the away series. You know, having to travel right after the midweek is definitely different. But it's nothing. I mean, nothing different. You still got to play 3 baseball games. Still got to compete at a high level. Just got to make sure you're mentally prepared each day and each week, no matter the days. But got to make sure the guys are feeling great, just mentally and physically, definitely. But no, it's a little bit of a challenge sometimes on the road. But I think we're going to be mentally and physically there.
And, of course, playing in the SEC, it's the best conference in college baseball. There's no debate on that whatsoever. And I love asking these types of questions. We got Alex Petrovic with us on the phone lines of Auburn Baseball here on ESPN 106.7. Who are some of the guys that you lean on in terms of for advice, or just if you are just looking to have a conversation or maybe have a little fun on an off day? Who are some of the guys on this team that you are leaning on and relying on and hanging out with on a daily and weekly basis?
I mean, just the whole team as a group is awesome at being super flowy. Like when we're having good times, you know, we're cracking jokes all the time, and I think we got a phenomenal dynamic in that locker room. When it comes to off days and stuff, like I'm a big golfer.
Okay,
kind of got into that a little bit in high school, but just need something to get my mind away from baseball, and you know, I'm still competing. I'm a competitor, so I love going and playing games, but I got my roommate Griffin Graves. He's big into golf, but man, we love to compete. So it's always something with him and, you know, trying to play a few games here and there and just talking, always hanging out with the friends and all the buddies. But no, it's a phenomenal dynamic we got.
What are we playing on the golf course? Are we playing a little wolf or are we playing, what do we got going on the golf course? Or just traditional scramble? What do we got?
We've tried wolf and I don't think like some of the guys just actually can't understand it. And I think it's so funny that they can't.
It's confusing at the start. It is a little confusing at first, but once you play it a few times, I feel like you can get the hang of it.
100%. But it's the funniest thing trying to see guys like comprehend it and they can't. So we kind of ditched that a little bit, but you know, we scramble here and there, play some, just give some guys some strokes. And if we're doing, you know, maybe we'll have 8 to 12 guys come out. We'll do three groups of four.
Oh, that's awesome.
Everybody will get some strokes and then we'll see who wins the end. And, you know, it's a cool competitive thing. That's not part of baseball. We can take our minds off of that and have fun.
Yeah. What's the last question before we let you get out of here? Dream golf trip with the boys. If you could have, I'm talking unlimited funds and not worried about all that. If you could just say, all right, we're taking our 8 to 12 guys. We're going on a trip for 4 or 5 days. Where are we going on the golf trip, Alex?
Oh boy. I'm from Texas. I'm a Texas guy,
right?
But there's not too many like crazy Texas courses. I don't know. I want to go either. Pebble Beach is amazing,
yeah.
Obviously. And I know we just had the Masters, but that course is way too hard for us. So I do not want to go there. Obviously, Pebble's hard, but the views are unreal. I think I'm just going to have to go to Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
And the par 3 there is beautiful. So, yeah, that's going
to
be the one.
I mean, that's a pretty solid answer. I mean, if you're going to pick one, a little trip to Pebble Beach with the boys, I think would get the job done. Well, man, it's awesome to talk to you. We appreciate you taking the time. We're having a great time talking about you and your team and watching you on a weekly basis continue to shove. Again, congratulations on being SEC Pitcher of the Week. And, again, we look forward to what you guys do this weekend down in Gainesville.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate the call and let me talk on the radio with you, man. I appreciate it.
Alex Petrovic of Auburn Baseball with us here on ESPN 106.7 as the Tigers head to Gainesville to take on Florida this weekend. All right, well, our timing skills are as good as always.
It happened again, man. The outro music was our return music. That's pretty sweet.
It's pretty impressive when you really think about it, how bad we are. I mean, I've only done this for 4 years, so, you know, maybe
thanks,
more learn.
Anthony.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Anthony. No, for real, thank you a lot, Anthony Turling, for joining us for an hour on today's program. So if you missed that or my conversation with Alex Petrovic just now or any other parts of the show, check out the podcast version at ESPNAU.com. We're back tomorrow for another loaded show between 2 and 4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.